Everybody get ready in 3, 2, 1.
The top of Caxton Street, home of Suncorp Stadium, Lefties, Gambaros and the Caxton Hotel. On 104.5 Triple M and the Listener app, this is Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Triple M
Breakfast. Happy Friday. Welcome to the Marto and Margo podcast. We kick this off with a bit of banter from our burner phone. Burner banter. 0484 101045. Text us whenever you want. We can't get to it on the show. We'll start the podcast with it.
Can we just quickly address Dylan at Crestmead? He's hosting his first NRL Grand Final party this weekend, tossing up whether to go for the traditional barbecue or throw some meat in the slow cooker. Any thoughts? Slow cooker.
Slow cooker.
Done. Josh from North Lakes, I've been invited to an NRL Grand Final barbecue and beers this weekend and a Bathurst barbecue and beers next weekend. My wife has told me I can only attend one. Which one would you go to? I would go to your
divorce
other wife.
Lawyer.
Yeah, I'd go to Trilby and Missa.
Get a second opinion, go to your other wife and go to both.
He's got 2 days to divorce his wife and then he can have the whole rest of his life can be a barbecue and beers.
If you're an Eels fan, first premiership in 36 years, worth losing half your shit for, isn't it?
Burn it down.
Yeah, like the grandstand.
If you're an Eels fan, you got no shit to lose.
Hey, listen.
you're just losing half your bet.
You'll find in the podcast we were talking about some NRL awards. And let's keep these up our sleeves, the Triple Emmys.
Triple Emmys. But you brought that to the table.
It can be awards for anything, but let's do the Rugby League Triple Emmys.
The Dally Triple Emmys?
Dally Triple Emmys.
Emmys. Our listeners are so clever. They've sent in some ideas on the burner phone, Marto, of awards that should be handed out.
Oh, ones that we didn't get to.
Tommy Dearden gets the Chocolate Sundae Award for supplying the most expensive crushed nuts to the NRL.
Oh, my God.
Thanks,
Peachy. You're a champion. What about Brad? The Garbo Award to the player who's been the simmed in most this year, Tarn Milne from the Rabbitohs.
Welcome.
Nice one.
And Laura suggested that the Steve Waugh Award for being the second best sporting brother in the family. Three-way tie between Jake, Jeremy and George Burgess.
Jake Trbojevic,
Jeremy Marshall-King and George Burgess.
Oh, that's gone. Well done, Laura. Most inventive. Have a good weekend.
Marto and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
104.5 Triple M, Marto and Margo here with you. This is going to be very special tonight, actually. 7:30 p.m. on Channel 9. It's a biography of a great Australian.
Yeah, I'll turn it up.
One of the great Australians, I'm going to say. Nine's Wide World of Sports is presenting a unique insight into the life. It says here one of Australia's greatest broadcasters and characters. I'm going to say the greatest. Yeah. Ray Warren calling time on Friday, September 30. That's today. It's on tonight, 7:30. Hello, Rabs.
Hey, Dan, how's it going? And Marto and Margo, it's lovely to talk to you.
Ramsey, did you have to give this your tick of approval, the whole show, or are you going to get as big a surprise as everyone else?
No, I'm going to get a surprise, mate, because I really didn't want to see it and I wasn't offered the opportunity, to be honest with you, apart from about 2 or 3 weeks ago, they said, if you want to have a quick look at what we're doing, this is the sort of stuff you're going to see. Did I ask for it to be done? No, in fact, I was a bit embarrassed, really. I said to the boss, mate, I retired 5 or 6 months ago, so it's not necessary. And he just turned at me and said, we haven't had a chance to celebrate your career, and we are going to do it.
I think very proud is what you should be, obviously, at the achievement. You said embarrassed, and I understand that. You're a humble man. But have you had, in the last few months, that time to sit and reflect and actually go, what I achieved was pretty incredible?
Yeah, I have. In fact, I did a podcast yesterday with somebody and they said, when did you really think that maybe you had been successful? I said after a long list of awards that I've been handed, an honour to be handed, I might add, I thought, well, I can't go much further because there's nothing else to get. The last thing was to be inducted into the Rugby League Hall of Fame. Mm. That was like the icing on the cake for me. So I waited until about May this year and watched football as a viewer, not a commentator, before I actually pulled the pin. Yeah.
Hey, listen, in these last 5 or 6 months, how much football have you been watching? And are you a critic? Are you you idiot.
A couch commentator.
Yeah, do you get stuck into the other commentators?
No, I wouldn't do that. I never did, really. But
have you heard of a bloke called Vorton? You should be very critical of some of Vorton's work.
You said that, I didn't. But I enjoyed working with them all, really. But if I see something that I think is a tricky little rule, I might send a text to to Gus or to Andrew or to Matthew. I might jump on the phone and send a text and say they got that wrong or whatever.
Of course, we know you as the greatest NRL caller of all time and commentator, Ray. But last time we spoke to you, which was, you know, upon your announcement of retirement, you said that it all started as a young boy commentating marbles. Mardo and I were talking about you yesterday, and he mentioned that you used to commentate. Was it swimming? I didn't realise that you... I'm only a spring chicken, Ray. So I've only ever known you as a football commentator. But was it swimming that you did before NRL? And where was the transition?
No. It started really with me coming to Sydney to be a race caller. A substitute rugby league caller and a substitute presenter. But well, years went by and I got asked to do a thing called the AMCO Cup. And then in 1990, Channel 9 asked me to do the Commonwealth Games swimming, and I was tied up in swimming for 22 years. It's not just been football. No. I'm glad you brought the subject up. Yeah, no, it's been a variation of sports for me. I did tennis with John Newcombe at one stage.
I know you hated flying, but I've never had the chance to ask you why.
Oh, mate, I don't know why, but I think I've learnt over the time that I was a kid sitting at the kitchen table in Junee. Mum and Dad, they're both railway people. He was a fettler, and Mum, she looked after the silos at a place called Brushwood. And every time a plane would go over, they'd say, if you were meant to fly, you'd have wings. And I think at the end of my childhood, I was terrified about these bloody things flying over with wings. You know. Anyway, and the railway motto was the railway is Safeway. So that all got ingrained into my head, you know, into my stupid head.
Well, we're going to miss having you call the grand final this weekend.
It's not the same.
Panthers v Parramatta. The Battle of the West, the Golden West, they're calling it, Ray. How big is this game going to be, particularly for Sydney?
Well, it's going to be big because I might be wrong when I say this, but I think it's the first local derby grand final. I'm talking about genuine local derby grand. I think it's the first since South played East back in 1932.
Jesus, so is that right?
For that reason alone, if I'm correct, it's a unique grand final in so many ways. And it's big brother versus little brother who grew up, and he grew up very quickly, and he's got the biggest junior nursery in all of Australia now. And they've got the experience of their third grand final in a row. Seven of them have played Origin for the last 2 years. And I think all of that experience will stand them in great stead on Sunday. And I'm talking about Penrith. Of course.
Mm. Did you live out the northwest there somewhere in Sydney?
Yeah, I do, Mato. I've lived out here all of my Sydney life.
So have you got a natural bias towards Para?
No. I had a young bloke, my youngest son, he played junior reps for Parramatta. So I obviously followed him and I followed the team as well, the first grade team. But then he went to Western Suburbs and my passion went with him. So blood is thicker than water, isn't it?
Poor bugger. Who was the bigger pest in the commentary box, Sturlo or Fat Man?
I'd say probably Sturlo.
I would have said Phil.
Or Brad Fittler or Andrew Johns.
You're surrounded by pests, Rats.
Yeah, we used to practice pronunciations, and there was a kid called Bartolo, and he came back from the sheds, and of course, I think the kid played for Parramatta, and he said, "Yeah, his name is Bartolo," and then we got going in the match, and he said, "It's not Bartolo, it's Bartolo."
Oh, I said, no.
Come on, you told us it was Bartolo, you know. He used to love getting me all minced up as far as pronunciations were concerned.
Rabs, we never want to close the door fully. You've done 99 Origins. You've said you're done. You're not going to come back for the 100th. That's not enough to get you back. But say Gina Rinehart or Clive Palmer, just pretend they offered you $1 million to commentate a private party. So this isn't getting broadcast anywhere. They're going to watch Origin.
Oh, 50
people there. Ray Warren, we're going to get you in with a megaphone just to commentate the game for us. Is there any chance you'd ever do a private function?
Oh, you can't say never, not when you're starting to talk about $1 million.
Pass
that's
the hat
more
around.
Money than I've ever earned.
All right, Rabs, tonight, mate, 7:30 p.m. on Channel 9. Ray Warren calling time. Billy Birmingham's going to be part of it. Bruce McAvaney, another great caller. Ian Thorpe, Paul Verton. Paul, I've changed his name like you have, Rabs, in honour of you, mate. Valton, Sterlow, Gus Gould. Everyone's going to be honouring you there ahead of the grand final tonight, Ray, and you deserve it, mate. As much as you don't like to hear that, you're one of the greats and you deserve it, Rabs.
Well, I appreciate your call, boys and girls. Fantastic. Thank you for calling.
September has come to a close as of the end of today. It's the 30th of September. So what is next month? Anyone know? Pop quiz.
It's October.
No, it's not. Come on.
It's Oztober.
There we go. Live music is finally back to celebrate Triple M's Oztober. It's a month-long celebration of Aussie music. We're taking over the Trifford.
Yeah, what about this for a lineup? There James Rain, the Screaming Jets, and... Noiseworks. They're coming back for
Tuamotu. This is incredible. The tickets are going to be highly sought after, of course. We've got hundreds, not just tens or a few. We've got hundreds of tickets to give away from next week.
I've been told it is the most amount of tickets we are going to ever give away in Triple M's history to any event. And guess who's on the line to join us next? Dave Gleeson from Screaming Jets. We're going to chat to him.
Gleeso joining us right after this. We're kicking off Oztober. It's Triple M. Marto and Margo. And it's the big one. This Sunday, we are going to be sending someone there, by the way, to the NRL Grand Final. Flights and accommodation are covered. Penrith versus the Eels. We've landed on the Eels side of the equation because we love the fact they burned down their grandstand in 1981 to celebrate, and we're pyromaniacs.
Yeah, what did the Panthers do when they won the Grand Final in 91?
Ask this bloke here, MG, Mark Geyer. Can you maybe swing us back to the Penrith side of the equation, mate? Ahead of the grand final, what have you incinerated recently to get us back on the Panthers bandwagon?
Well, nothing incinerated. As I say, good morning to you both.
Hello,
Margo. Beautiful morning. People. Well, how about this one, Parramatta Eel fans? You might have incinerated your grandstand. But how about when we won the comp, there was a $160,000 theft of the club.
That night after Royce scored the tries, are you telling me somebody robbed the club?
Yes, they did.
All right, hang on. I might be back on the Panthers here. Run us through the exact crime, MG. What was stolen and value was 50 grand, did you say?
160.
No, $160,000 in cash.
Can we go chronologically? So 1990, you lost the grand final to Canberra. And then you turned around and became a far better team and won in 1990. You're at the SCG. Yep. SCG, of course you would have been.
No, we're at what was it called back then? Now it's Allianz. It was called
Sydney Football Stadium.
Yep.
Righto. So then you all go back to Penrith. What was that like? In a bus or in cars?
When we won the comp?
Yep.
Okay, we stayed in the dressing room until about 10 o'clock, having beers with Bobby Hawke. And
Bob Hawke was there.
Bob Hawke was there, so he was sculling a couple of beers with us.
He just loved free beer.
He's like every prime minister, like ScoMo, just jump on the winner's band.
Royce Simmons, I was trying to tell these guys, he said he'd have a beer, if I remember correctly, a beer with every person in Penrith before the week was out or something like that, didn't he?
He did, and we found out, we got word, somebody rang the stadium because mobile phones weren't really popular in 1991. They were kind of coming in, but they were the size of a brick, and someone rang one of our rich people amongst our club and said, hey, guess what? There's cars all the way back to Strathfield on the M4 waiting for you guys to get back to the club. And we jumped in the bus. We couldn't go in the front door. We had to drive around to the back entrance. And people got wind of that and then chased our bus. It was just it was the best feeling that I've ever had. And I think that's why the mood in the area at the moment is very similar, because obviously, they've got to win the game for that to happen. But this team that we're watching, the Penrith team, the buzz is unfrigging believable. Because of the fact, I think, it's the first time we played against Parramatta, who were our big brothers for so long, in a grand final. We watched them in the 80s just totally dominate. They won 81, 82, 83, 86, and we were going backwards. And then all of a sudden, a kid called Alexander comes to our club, and our fortunes started to change. And we played in final footy in the late 80s, and obviously, Marto, you mentioned 1990 and 91, and we turned the tables on our big brother, and now it's kind of, this is their opportunity to get one back on us. This is our third grand final in a row. Parramatta haven't won one since 1986, haven't been in one for 13 years since 2009, so everything's at stake. I think there's more angst amongst these teams that anyone's letting on.
Well, that's the football analysis out of the way. Can we get back to that $160,000 that got stolen in 91? What happened there? Was it a gang? Was it an opportunist, or was it a planned raid?
I think it was an inside job. Yeah, there was word. Well, this is, I was rolling out of the club with the daybreak, and I all of a sudden saw a posse of police coming through the club past McDonald's. We're going, what the
hell? You figured they wanted to talk to Fittler about something, yes. Yeah.
Or MG.
Yeah, or MG. Yeah, I better get out of here.
He's like, shit, I'm in trouble.
And all of a sudden we're hearing on the news that Panthers, after winning the grand final, I think it was $130,000.
I'm not a detective here. Can I just check, was your salary cap the next year $130,000 more?
it was right on. It was right on. They said, MG, that's your poker machine, the coin of the Nile. Take it.
All right, so there you go. You've got your math down pat now. If you're a pyromaniac, you're going to be supporting the Eels. Yes. If you're a fan of insider trading and break and enter, yeah, you're on the Penny Panthers. MG, thank you very much, mate. We know who you'll be cheering for, and go well on Sunday.
Mate, the best team win. Have a great one, guys. Love yous.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
Well, we've already spoken to Mark Geyer this morning, who, of course, played in on the 1991 grand final win by Penrith. But it's time to turn our attention to Parramatta. They won 1981, their first, 1982, their second, 1983, their third, and then they lost 1984, and then they won 86 and haven't won since. Four premierships in 5 years, and then they lost it. And a guy who was right at the centre, I reckon he was their best player. The Crow, they used to call him, Mick Cronin. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thanks.
Memories? What happens this week? Have people been ringing you all week going, oh, do you remember when, etc.? You played in all four of those wins, didn't you?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to play in all four. We're probably getting sick of the question. They keep asking, when are we going to win one? But they're not easy to win, but we were fortunate enough to have a good period that time.
Mick, I was trying to tell Margot, my partner here. Now, you were one of probably the last person who got to play for New South Wales and the Kangaroos without ever having to play in Brisbane or Sydney competition. Can you explain to everybody your story on you lived way down south of Sydney but played up at Parramatta?
Well, it could happen in those days. You could represent your own club side. You'd play through the country championships, and you could, in the end, the big game then was country against Sydney. If you had a bit of luck in that game, you could get picked to represent New South Wales. So, but these days, they grab all the young players by the time they're 16, so they've usually, by the time they're 17 or 18, they're playing in the Sydney competition. But in those days, you know, there's probably people, I wasn't one of them, who got more money to play in the country than play in the city, actually, if you're a captain coach or something. But fair to say, I wasn't one of those.
What do you remember most? There were some super players. Sterlo was there, Brett Kenny and Ray Price. I'll put them as the top three players. What do you remember of those three?
Kenny was just a natural. Sterling was just a footballer, and the fact that he wasn't an out-and-out footballer, you know. He'd be sort of like today's version of Cronk, I suppose, where he understood the game very well.
Yeah.
And Price was just a competitor. You'd rather be playing with Ray Price than against him. But there were a couple of, there was a lot of good players in that side.
Mick, can I ask, you know, everyone's talking about the 86 grand final was the last grand final that the Parramatta Eels won. It was your last, did you retire that year? That was your last year playing for the Eels?
I lost the side of my eye in a trial game, and I really thought I'd retire then because I said the sight was gone, but I decided to finish out the year, but look, I was 35 and blind in one eye. I thought it was a good time to retire.
Good time to get out while you're ahead, Mick.
I once got told on your way to that game you were running late, stuck in traffic around Moore Park there, etc. Did the police have to give you an escort?
I did that trip for 14 years. It was the worst fog I'd seen. You couldn't see 2 metres in front of you. And
fog?
About 20 cars had run up the back of each other and I was behind them. But a road worker recognised me and said, I'll get you to the front of the accident. He said, then you're on your own. No, there was no police escort.
Eventful. Let's talk about the 81 grand final. We've been reminiscing a little bit this week and Marto brought to our attention that the Parramatta fans burned down Cumberland Stadium after that 81 grand final. Was that something that you guys were aware of at the time or even participated in?
Well, you could see the flames from the club, but no, we didn't participate in it, but already been decided they were going to build a new stadium, so I think that the fans got in early and did a bit of the demolition work.
Mick Cronin, Parramatta Eels, legend of the game. Where will you be watching the grand final this weekend, and are you backing Impara for the win?
Well, I've got to back Parramatta for the win. I've just, look, you talk with your heart when you play for a side. So I'm going for Parramatta. Look, on their day, they know what they've got to do. I know the coach knows what they've got to do to win, but they are playing a very good side who have proven it for 3 years. It's not going to be easy, but there's been plenty of upsets in grand finals, and we're hoping for another one.
Beauty, mate. Thanks for the chat this morning, Mick.
No trouble. Thank you.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
My favourite month of the year, Margo, it's here. Well, it's about to start tomorrow. Oztober! You know what that means.
Wrapping up Rocktember and heading into Oztober where we play Aussie music!
That's right. It's unbelievable. And I tell you what, one of the special treats is all month at lunchtime, there's going to be music legends joining him daily as guest host just to talk Aussie songs, best of all time. It's one of our favourites, Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets. Hey, Dave!
Hey, Marta. Hey, Margo. How are you?
Yeah, Gleeso, how's the night shift going, mate? Is this a bit early for you this morning?
Oh, it is, absolutely. We had after work drinks last night.
Oh.
Oops. Hey, well,
mate, that laugh?
Not starting until next week, so because we got Monday off for the grand final, etc. But, mate, I used to love that segment at lunchtime, so bringing that back will be magnificent for Oztober.
Oh, it's fantastic, and it's a who's who of Australian rock that I'm going to be talking to everyone. Peter Garrett, Pete Murray, Diesel, who else? Paul Kelly's, everyone. It's going to be fantastic.
It's not like you to be that well organised. That's magnificent.
Yeah, it's great. I just got my black book out and threw it away because I haven't got any of their numbers.
Gleeso, I don't know, well, it's this weekend and we've been talking about it all morning, but the grand final on Sunday, 1997. Do you remember it at all, the 1997 grand final? Remind everyone, the Johns brothers, Darren Albert going over for that blindside try. Where were you?
I was on a plane. I was listening to it just before the plane took off. We'd been watching it at a hotel and I just remember jumping up and going, the Knights have just won the grand final. And everyone looked at me like I was an idiot. No one cared.
Are you a Knights fan? Is that your team, Gleeso? What jersey do you don on your back?
I'm actually a Dragons fan.
Dragons.
The Knights didn't come into the comp till about 88, and I was well ensconced in the Dragons camp by that stage.
The mighty Red V.
But the reason I asked, I've been told a story. Now, so you must have landed, gotten back to Newcastle for the celebrations with the Johns brothers.
Yes.
I did. Because I remember Daniel Johns got involved as well. What was your involvement with their celebrations? Because they were fairly mentored.
Do you mean silver chairs, Daniel Johns?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so what happened was we got back and they were doing a civic reception in Newcastle. And we decided that we'd set up a truck at the end of the of Civic Park and play a gig to about 80,000 people. It was nuts.
80,000? You reckon that's how many was there? Monday or Tuesday after the GF?
That was on the Tuesday. And I remember on the Thursday, my wife called up and said, where are you? I said, I'm celebrating the grand final. She said, you didn't win a grand final. you don't even go for the night.
You celebrated like you did, though, didn't you, Gleeso?
Rock and roll.
Absolutely.
Hey, listen, something to celebrate is a pretty massive event that Triple M have got coming up for Oztober at the Trifford. Our good friends, JC from Powderfinger, obviously his venue, which is an incredible venue.
That's a ripper.
And it fits hundreds and hundreds of people. And we're going to give our listeners the opportunity, Dave Gleeson, to join you and the Screaming Jets who are going to be there. James Rain, John Stevens from Noiseworks.
Oh, what a night.
They're coming back. They haven't toured together for ages. It's going to be a massive night.
So it's virtually the crown that sits on top of Oztober. Late in Oztober, Gleeso, can you help us give away some tickets? What did you want to ask him? Favourite number?
Well, I was going to say pick a number between 1 and 10 because apparently I've been told we've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tickets to give away, Gleese.
Well, 7's the number I always go for. Is that? I think it's pretty predictable, but isn't it? Everyone goes for 7.
No, that's not predictable. We love that. 133353. We're going to give away 7 double passes right now. If you want to join Dave Gleeson and the Screaming Jets at our Oztober event at the Trifford at the end of this month, it's going to be incredible.
Thanks, Gleeso. Listen to you every day at lunchtime.
Rock on, guys. Thanks very much. Can't wait for Oztober to kick in.
Marto and Margo on Triple M Breakfast.
It's
So good to see you back in the studio here, Dan. We missed you yesterday, Jamie. Just really couldn't nail those fart noises that when we tried to address your situation of having gastro.
He,
he
didn't know where they all were.
There was no fart noises.
I was nailing the fart noises at home and not with my sound effects machine.
Well, we questioned how you were. We're like, we actually hope he's okay. And then just before we finished up the show, you sent through a text message on our WhatsApp group, and it was an article that you'd seen, and it just simply
from
said,
the toilet, mind you. I was on the dunny thinking of you guys.
Oh, you sent it to us.
Yeah,
right,
shitting through the eye of a needle.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And I thought, I'll send me mates an article. And it involves,
aren't we lucky?
It involves toilet behaviour as well.
It does. Man caught peeing on ex-wife's grave by her kids. And now we address this.
There's a fair bit there.
In yesterday's podcast, Marto, but we felt it necessary to bring to the attention of everybody. 133353, what did you leave at the gravesite or what did you see at the gravesite? This gentleman had a pretty big grudge against a former partner of his.
He'd already remarried, didn't he?
He'd remarried, yeah.
Decades he did this for.
Yeah, and he and his new bride were going to the graveside of his ex-partner and he was weeing and defecating on the graveside. He had one almighty grudge to hold, even though she had already passed on. And it turns out that someone had mentioned to one of the children, because this woman had two children, when they'd come to visit mum, they were like little bags of poo there. And the groundskeeper said, yeah, someone keeps leaving poo at the graveside.
It's always wet. The soil's always moist around there.
Yeah, and it's not an animal. That looks like human remains. And so they set up a little CCTV situation where they videoed it.
Well, a possum normally doesn't glad bag its poo either and leave it there.
No. Anyway, they found out that this man was weeing and defecating on their mother's gravesite. He obviously had a relatively large grudge to hold.
Well, it's either a grudge or a fetish. I don't know.
Oh, is it something they used to do?
But didn't you tell me it was his wife? He'd drive with his wife every day to that gravesite of his old wife.
And then his son would say, I can't even get a woman to go out on a date with me. And he gets someone to come to every day to drive him to the gravesite.
Oh, is it there? Maybe the current partner's fetish. I just like when you wee on the tombstone.
Oh, I like watching you wee on ex-wife.
Show me how much you hated her.
Oh. Well, she's dead, so nothing's going to happen. It's not enough. I need you to pee on it.
I need you to pee on it.
Listen, some weird things do go on at cemeteries.
Yes, well, we just recently buried my pop, Mount Gravatt Cemetery, and there was a packet of darts and a 4X can.
I've seen that as well.
Fresh.
At his?
No, not his. He wasn't a smoker. He did love beer, but it was homebrew, not 4X. But at somebody else's gravesite as we walked through. 4X. Coming on as we walk through.
You see, if you go to cemeteries on a regular basis, lots there's some weird things. There's lots of dairies and beers.
Always
could
flowers.
This bloke pick up a beer on the way through, crack it, scull it, and then he needs to pee and then pee on his exes? You know, you could combine that all.
Oh, you're saying stealing from other gravesites?
Do you ever go and visit your dad?
Yeah, I went on Father's Day. It was the last time I went.
Do you leave stuff there for him?
I didn't this time, but I have previously planted some tomatoes. They don't like that, though.
Did he like tomatoes?
I loved it. He was one of the world's great tomato growers and also relish makers.
He'd be happy with that.
He'd be very happy with that.
You after the tomato, technically, didn't he?
Tomato.
Great tomato, Martin.
But it's other people's. When you see little ships and stuff like that, you go, oh, that bloke was obviously a sailor. They lead items of clothing, which is weird. They must find something at dad's at home and then take it to the cemetery and stuff like that.
133353. What do you leave at the grave? Do you go and visit somebody? Do they want something in particular? Left there that maybe they mentioned, or do you just leave something like a little nod to them, like the tomatoes? You grow tomatoes at your dad's grave.
But you're not allowed to. They pulled them out.
Okay, well, I won't tell you. But 133353, what have you seen or what have you left when you've been to the cemetery?
Yeah, best call here. We'll give you tickets to Oktoberfest.
Nicole from Victoria Point.
Oh, good morning. I was just saying that when our mum passed away about 20 years ago, my sister and I were quite poor back in the day. And we couldn't afford flowers, so there was some that used to grow across the road from the cemetery, so we'd run in there and get them and put them on her. But now we're a little bit more financial, so we go out there and play Elvis to her and pour rum on her.
Oh, would she like that, Nicole? Would she be happy with that? Was she an Elvis fan and a rum drinker?
Yes, absolutely. She'd love that. And with the flowers, I think she would have thought we were quite resourceful at the time.
When, Nicole, you pour the rum on her...
What's with the rum thing?
Where does it go? Do you pour it into a little glass and cheers her, or do you literally pour it on her grave and around the grass so it absorbs into the soil?
Yeah, no, around the grass, and so she gets a good drinking.
Yeah. You ain't nothing but a hand. What was her favourite Elvis song?
her favourite? Oh, I don't know if she actually had one. No, I think she just loved them all.
Did you go and see the Elvis movie in her honour, Nicole? You and your sister?
I did, actually. And we actually went to Graceland and took a little trinket of her with us to make sure that she got there.
Nicole, I get a bit awkward after about 10 minutes. I go, that's enough. Let's go home now. How long are you supposed to? You just look at my dad's name and the day he died and the day he was
Ten
born.
10 minutes is plenty, mate.
Is that okay? Is that all right with you, Nicole? How long do you spend at the gravesite?
Oh, just probably enough to have a rum and a Elvis song.
Oh, but you're having a rum as well,
are
you?
Is this just an excuse weekly to have a rum, Nicole? Yeah.
So anyone gets mad at
you. It's absolutely fine to day drink. We love it.
Well, yeah, my dad loved a rum. I think I might take on your family tradition. No.
Do you know, my dad's buried at the crematorium, I think on the Sunshine Coast. I don't know. I've never, ever been to visit.
Well, never.
We'll take a bottle of rum and
just spray it around.
Nicole, did you down a bottle of rum during the Baz Luhrmann Elvis movie as well?
Beg your pardon?
No, never mind.
No, don't worry. Thanks, Nicole.
Thanks,
Nicole.
Nicole
just likes drinking rum, doesn't she?
Michael from Windaroo. Good morning.
Well, I like her.
Morning, Team Brisbane.
Yeah, good. Are you pouring rum around the soil and grass of your family member's grave?
Not quite.
Okay.
Not quite.
What do you do? Yeah. Or what have you seen, I should say?
Can I just jump in, Michael? What I did see, sorry, I just remembered, was some solar lights. The guy about three along from Dad had solar lights.
What about theming? Like, does anybody dress it up for Halloween and make it into a scary graveside or Christmas, put some tinsel around the joint?
Where are we talking, Michael? Which
we're talking again in Orange, New South Wales. Yeah. So there's a beautiful family down there, the Greenlay family. You're almost sure and saying a lot of people would hear that. Unfortunately, we lost Harry a few years ago in a terrible accident, but he was that kid in the club that was the rugby league boy.
Yeah.
You know, the waterline, the sideline boy. Anyway, terrible, but he hit it. He passed away, as things do, unfortunately. At his gravesite, there's a little speaker button. Then you press that speaker button and it does the Manly Seagulls theme hurrah.
He was a huge Manly fan, was he, Michael?
And because he was, you know, Mr. Bugby, he used to, when they'd win the game for the team, he would do the, you know, get on the bin and bang it and sing the song. And it also plays his voice. And it's just one of the most beautiful things you'll ever see.
He's talking
to you. It's like a museum.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's
That's
so
creative.
Themed. It is super creative, definitely.
Manly. Have you ever thought about painting the tombstone rainbow for Pride Round at all, Michael?
Some players
imagine that. Multiple speakers.
Michael, have you got any special requests for when you pass on at your, you know, burial site? Would you? How would you like it to be adorned and celebrated?
I like to think I'm a bit of a humble, caring, friendly person. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how you'd theme that. But, yeah, certainly something to think about. We
Michael,
need to think
we
about
can just bring
things,
the speaker down and a bottle of rum and just do the...
bottle of whiskey.
Whiskey. Right. There you go, mate. What about you two?
There was actually some nice ones. Like Anna, she leaves olive branches for her dad because he used to plant them with her as a kid.
Sure.
It's cute.
You two, though, what do you want us to do?
Forget about me.
Oh, margaritas. Drink margaritas at my...
Oh, margaritas. Cellar,
have a party. Create an event.
Okay. And Marta, we just won't even know
where
you're buried.
No, just burn me and throw me out to sea somewhere when the wind's right.
Viking? Can I do the Viking
with
you?
What way would you like the wind to be?
Well, there's nothing worse when the ashes blow back into your face.
Oh, my God. Marta and Margo,
Triple M Breakfast. Hey, did you know that Nathan Brown who came into the Eels? He hasn't been involved for weeks, like nearly 11 weeks, and he's only played one game in that time. Mm. He's been brought into the reserve bench. He's a real enforcer. You know the one I mean, Nathan Brown? He's a bit grubby.
No. Nathan Brown, the coach.
No, with the blonde hair now, bald. No, this is the enforcer. So he'll be playing in jersey 16. Have you got the footy there? 16. I looked at him last night, and you know what? It surprised to him that he was playing.
Oh.
He's top heavy. You know those blokes that are top heavy? I think he's been working on his beach muscles for the off season, not thinking he was going to have to play. And he's got chicken legs that are as skinny as mine, I reckon.
Oh.
Corey Oates is like that for me. Seems to be quite muscly up the top.
Just on the back of that,
And I know you're listening, Corey, so good morning.
You reckon he listens?
I hope so.
Well, he's about to receive one of these awards too.
Oh, good. Let's go.
Because it is on the back of the Dally M's. This is the Dally Triple Emmy.
Oh.
We're presenting it today for services to rugby league, but we'll pull these out occasionally, the Triple Emmys, but this is the Dally Triple Emmys.
Should Peter Volandis just introduce the night quickly?
Rugby league.
Thank you, Peter. And first up is the KFC award.
Did someone say KFC?
Yes, they did. Nathan Brown for his chicken legs. He's first up. You mentioned Corey Oates. Yes, come on up, Corey, because you're getting the Mack truck for the worst turning circle in the competition.
Oh,
the slowest person to go one way and then have to turn and chase a ball.
Is that award sponsored by Princess Cruise Liners?
Yes, thank you very much. What else have we got? Drop them in at any stage. Todd Carney, the Todd Carney Memorial Award for Improper Use of Toilets. Of course, Kaelin Ponga. Clearly, come on up, Kaelin, yeah, and accept
and Kurt.
That.
I think Kaelin's actually sick. He can't accept his award. Kurt Mann's going to accept it on his behalf.
That's fine. They do everything together. They'll probably come up together holding hands and willies. Elvis Presley, Star of My Blue Suede Shoes Award. You know who's won that?
Oh, of course, Payne Haas and Albert Kelly.
Don't go anywhere, Payne, because we'd like you to accept the Mother of the Year Award.
Ah.
Well done.
Only mother in the NRL to be jailed twice.
Yes, get it. Mum, I think you can go and see her on Sunday for a couple of hours. Give it to her then.
Unfortunately, Payne won't be able to fit both of his awards in his Gucci man bag.
No.
He'll have to come back and grab one. He'll leave one up here. And
you don't think when he goes and visits her in jail, they want to check? Just give us a quick look what's in that Gucci. Oh, God. And then he punches them.
Another sharpened toothbrush, Payne. Put it away.
And the father of you, have you got any awards? Any potential nominees?
Well, father of the year. I liked the spin that Andre gave on the Kaelin Ponga Kurtman toilet situation. But perhaps maybe Mitchell Moses for missing the birth of his child.
Oh, Father of the Year Award.
Father of the Year.
That's well done, Mitchell Moses.
Well done. Just setting his child up for constant letdowns.
Well, no, just setting the bar where it should be. You will never be a priority.
No, I'll always choose football.
Rugby league's ahead of you.
Dad, you missed my high school graduation. Listen, your turtle wasn't there when you were born. What were you expecting? Is that it? We're done.
Well done to all the award recipients.
Hey, if you've got nominations, send them on through. We'll accept them on the burner phone.
For the Triple Emmys. Yeah. If you've got other awards, we'll read them out.
Former player hanging around and hanging on for the longest.
Alvin Langer.
0484. What's the number?
The Lurking Award. Is that the Lurking Award?
0484 10 1045. God, you have one day off and forget the phone number. Text us through. Marto's burner phone. Any more nominations? It's Triple M.
It's as easy as 50-50. Or heads or tails. Triple M breakfasts. This or that.
3, 2, 1. He's not here. He's declined to play. He's forfeited the game. I win.
What is it?
3-2 points to Margo.
It is 3-1 currently, the overall score of this or that. Can you two please rock off? Because we need to figure out who goes first on a Friday via a rock off while I tell everyone it's a $100 voucher to Popolo for the win today.
Marto plays the rock off differently to me.
I'm from a different generation. She shakes her hand
paper,
about eight
scissors,
times.
Rock. He just goes paper, scissors, rock.
You
boring.
Want apple up or down? You ready?
Are you going to throw your phone? Well, it's down.
What did you say?
Neither. Here, ready?
You go first.
No, here. Paper, scissors, rock.
Gotcha.
Marto has thrown a rock. Margo's thrown a scissors. That annoys you, Paul, in Ormo, because you backed in Margo. She's going to be going second today.
I'm sorry, Paul.
Oh, that's all right. You've got this, Margo.
I'll be better behaved today, though. I was very frustrated yesterday. I may or may not have.
I saw your walkout on the Triple M Instagram.
I was disappointed. And then I stormed to the kitchen and then the zip tap wouldn't work.
Ah.
Annoying. Mark, from Kenmore, you're playing. Marto's playing for you. Can you turn your radio down, Mark?
Stop. Get rid of Mark.
Oh, Mark.
Mark, you there?
Annoying.
Yeah, right. I turn him off. Come on.
Mark's talking to somebody else.
No, Mark can stay there, but can't.
Yeah, we won't ever go back to Mark, but Mark might go to Popolo. Brisbane's most authentic Italian feasting experience overlooking the Brisbane River at Southbank. Very simple. This or that. It's two options. Marto, you're going to go first. First to 2 points. We'll win it. The whole theme today is versus
Grand Final edition.
Panthers and Eels. Mm-hmm. Yeah, righto. Who'd win a fight? Panther.
Oh.
Eels, electric.
Is it electric? Is it in the water? Is it on land? That's not a question anyway, forget about that. Who has a higher combined age? Nathan and Ivan Cleary, coach player Panthers.
Oh, this is funny.
Do you know where this is going?
Yeah.
Jake, Brad, Arthur. On the Eels side, coach player.
Yeah, TikTok and Ivan. TikTok, Cleary and Ivan, they're older.
Do you reckon the jaw is adding extra weight?
Jacob's
there?
Younger than Nathan. So the Clearys are older.
Clearys are older. Clearys' combined age is 75 and the Arthurs is 68.
Hey!
They got them by 7 years.
Panthers.
All right, 1 point Marto to stay in it, Margo. What's heavier, an average adult Panther or 10 American eels.
No idea.
I know you've got no idea.
I'm just going to say, how many eels?
10.
What do they weigh?
Well, that's the question.
I don't know what an American, I've never heard of an American.
What's American eel?
You catch an eel, God, they pull hard on the line.
An American eel.
10 kilos? 10's 100?
An American eel is an eel from America.
A panther would only be 58 kilograms or something, wouldn't it?
A fully grown male or female? Has she let herself go? Is it a female panther after children?
That's a cougar.
Like me.
That's a cougar.
I'm just. What's heavier? Or what did you say? What's heavier? Yeah. I'm going to go 10 eels.
Yeah, I think you've gone off.
Is it right?
Well, panther's 71 kilos. An eel is 70. 10 of them is 70.
Oh, so. Bloody hell.
Bugger.
Margo, you've been dudded there.
I have been
and
dudded.
So is Paul, but Mark, don't talk to him. Yeah, Mark from Kenmore, you're going to pop along. Enjoy, mate.
He's there. Mark.
Yeah, he's hearing
it. No, he's still got it in his pocket.
He's
did he pocket doll us?
He's dropped his phone down the side.
He doesn't
of
even
the car.
Know he's in the competition. He's just pocket dolled us.
Margo, is this where I tell Marta as well?
No,
I showed,
don't say anything,
she
Daniel.
She desperately wanted help because it was 3-1. I showed her the sheet with the questions.
I still got it wrong.
She stared at it for 10 seconds, this went cross-eyed, and then still lost.
I was like, there's too much writing, I can't see. Oh, and then God. He took it away from me and I still lost.
There's too much writing, I can't see. Yeah, the answers are in writing. Oh, well.
Yeah, but you gave me two it. Answers. I didn't know which one was right or wrong because I didn't know what the question was going
to
be.
Okay. You need to read the question.
Oh.
Okay, it's 4-1 tomato
I'm
now.
Not a good liar or cheater, it turns out.
I'm not
out.
Even good and I'm like a, you make me look like a grandmaster.
Enjoy Popolo, Mark. Well played. Yes. We're going to be heading down to Suncorp Stadium very soon. We're going to be sending someone to that very
you can't
grand final.
That.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Hey, listen, you may be unaware, but an enormous, they're calling it the biggest hurricane ever to hit the USA.
Oh,
Hurricane
Ian.
Ian.
Tell looks
me about,
wild.
Let's talk about the name first. Mm. The name Ian. It's not an American name. Who's the most famous Ian you know? Is it Thorpe?
Chapel.
Chapel, yeah. Chapel.
Most famous
American.
Give me an American Ian. Is there a Hollywood Ian?
Ian Ziering, the guy who was in 90210 and Sharknado, but his name is actually Ian. He prefers it pronounced
Ian rather than. Is it spelled I-A-N?
I think it's spelled Ian, but he likes to be called Ian Ziering.
I don't know where Ian came from, like where the name came from anyway.
Well, they have to call it, they alternate letters and genders.
I had an Uncle Ian.
Hey?
I had an Uncle Ian. Uncle Ian from Chinchilla.
Did he pack a real blow? Like, was he powerful?
Oh, he was a cowboy from Chinchilla.
Yeah. Well,
not particularly threatening, is it?
Ian.
Ian's on the
no.
line.
No.
But it's worthwhile.
How do they pick the cyclone names, can I ask?
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, alternating around.
And they alternate genders, yeah.
Mm. So male, female.
So they had to go with an I.
Yeah. It used to be females only. When Cyclone Tracy hit Darwin in
she was a bad one.
She was a bad one.
Hurricane Katrina. She was nasty.
Mm. But it's the bogan names like Ian and Tracy. Like
what about Debbie? Cyclone Debbie.
Debbie. That's right.
Yeah. Sandy. Damn.
Normally, you just when you hear Cyclone Ian's coming around, you're like, we'll just lock the bar fridge and we'll be right.
Yeah,
there was
exactly.
a Cyclone Margo once.
Was there right?
Yeah.
How did she go? Just
I think
a lot,
she did
lot
some damage. Yeah, she did some damage off Earth.
Would have been a lot of hot air.
Care about
but this hurricane
Margo.
Ian, it looks pretty nasty.
Well, what it did represent a great opportunity for me to watch American TV and remember they're superior at this thing.
Hurricane Ian came knocking just shy of a Category 5, the highest possible, vast, frightening and clearly visible from space.
Sorry, that was Aussie chick, but the thing was, it gives her a chance on her highlight reel to go, I was there during a hurricane. It was outstanding. And the thing is, they're punters. Why witnesses, if you're ever at a fire or a hurricane or a cyclone, anything, pump it up, Aussies, because Americans are so much better at doing panic and terror.
God hope you never have to see this at your house.
That's our pool. That's our deck. That was my house. My house is gone.
Oh, my house is gone.
Okay. And who have we got with us here?
Weather reporters always like
wait,
to push.
We're just up on. What's this?
Oh, Dan.
On a weekend.
He's the weekend weather guy.
Oh, sorry,
I was pointing at you.
Because I also press the buttons here and do the weekend weather.
Weekend
so when
weather.
You point at me, I press a button. So
every
he's
weather
the
guy's
monkey.
Dream is that a hurricane? I'm going
to
get my
to
rain
cover
jacket.
Wet weather.
I'm going to get an umbrella that's
spray,
turned inside
poncho.
Out.
Yeah, they make you stand in them. They don't let you stand under a gondola. Yeah, no. I look over and there's Luke Bradnam over there, Gary Youngbrew.
have gum boots. You've got to be, you know, when we had the floods, they all had to have at least shin deep.
At least shin deep. Yeah, you've got to ruin a pair of Well, the reporters over there got stuck right into it.
Okay, Zissi, are you pointing at me to reference the weather?
Play it.
Weather reporters always like to push the limit, but struck by debris and struggling to stand, this man was forced to wave the white flag.
Give me a second.
Jimmy, all right?
Is that the guy on the pole?
Yeah, he ended up on the pole, but a tree hit him. A tree hit him. Did you? He didn't hear it there. It's really hard. I turn it up occasionally at home, but he went, ow.
Ow.
When a big branch just came flying out of nowhere and knocked him off his feet.
Flew past him and knocked him off his feet.
And then he went and just hung onto a pole. And then he said, listen,
it was incredible. 250 kilometre winds.
Hey, how good.
Incredible.
What's his name? I can't wait to see him at the Weatherman AGM. He might win Weatherman of the Year.
He'll win Weatherman of the Year. There's no doubts at all. Exactly. Here he goes again.
We've seen garbage cans fly, parts of trees, you name it.
You name it.
Garbage cans. It's nothing. Like, I want a house.
Well,
to
like
be
that lady's house. Why didn't it go past? That would have been great.
Like out of Wizard of Oz. Yeah,
and like here, they tell you, you know, if there's a disaster, if it's flooded, forget it.
Stay inside.
Don't come out and have a look.
Stay home unless your home is flying away in the hurricane.
Get out of your home. For your roof, go home.
Find the bunker.
All right, but not this woman. And this is where Americans are so good.
I figure if I'm going to die, God's going to kill me anywhere I go. So I'm not worried about the weather.
Let's go through that. If I'm going to die, God's going to find me wherever I go because God is everywhere.
It's destiny. Final destination. If you don't die now, you're going to die at some
200 kilometre wind. She had a little kid on each hand.
In each hand,
just looking at the wind.
Did they look up and go, "Hey, that's not our plan. We don't want to die."
So is that advice essentially? If you're going to die, you're going to die. So don't do anything. Because God will kill you if he wants you dead. So if you're apparently out in a hurricane, just stay there.
Just stay there.
Don't. I figure if I'm going to die, God's going to kill me anywhere I go. So I'm not worried about the weather.
So what a way to live your life.
Should I put a bunker in? Nah, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die. Don't put a bunker in.
What a way to live your
life. Makes God sound like a bit of a psycho.
God's
going to
kill me anyway.
Yeah.
He's everywhere.
God's a mass murderer.
Don't go saying that. He's everywhere.
Life mantra.
Well, I don't care, Marta, because if I'm going to die, I'm going to die. God will kill me anyway.
Marta's going to throw me. You're not alone. 4-8-4-10-1-0-4-5. Save it in your phone.
Only one little blemish on the traffic landscape today. Aaron from Brighton, thanks for phoning it in, mate. Nasty crash on Ipswich Road, outbound at Granard Road. It looks like it's just past the Rockley Showgrounds. But listen, there's also delays going inbound because rubberneckers, eyes to the front, you lot.
Well, the car is on its roof, so it's a sight to see. It's becoming a bit of a car park down there. But don't stop and look and carry on and contribute to the traffic woes.
If there's a car on its roof, slow down.
Have a look. Take a photo.
Take a video. Get out. Maybe have a ciggy. Take a selfie.
Have a picnic.
It's just a car. Let the people in that need to get there and do their job to help whoever was in it. Just keep driving.
Did you say piss?
Yeah. Well, if you're hopping out of your car,
well, go behind a tree at least. Don't we on the accident.
On your top. Wee on the upturned car.
Can't do that.
You idiots.
Motto and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
Oh, we're on the hallowed turf. Good morning, everybody.
Wow.
There's a crowd building here. They're all here to egg on our four contestants. We've been doing this all week. Tickets, flights, accommodation to the NRL Grand Final on Sunday.
Dan and Marto. And I've got them here with me. We've got Craig from Springwood, Ben from Brackenridge, Anthony from Mount Gravatt, and Jason from Pine Mountain. 1 in 4 chance, gentlemen. You got to get the ball through the hole as many times as you can to win your way there.
This is classic team on team. We've got two Para fans, Para Eels fans, two Penrith fans. This is the event that's a tip to stop Australia. So everybody pull over, get off the road because you're about to see sporting excellence of the highest order.
This could be how the grand final ends up. If there's enough sin binnings tonight, it could end up 2-on-2. On Sunday night, you know, if they really get stuck into each other.
All right, so what do we got, Margo? 30 seconds to throw as many balls as they can through the holes in our passing contest.
We're going to pit them against each other 2 by 2. We're going to give them 30 seconds on the clock to throw as many balls at the Triple M, Dan, as they can. And the winner is going to be finding themselves on Sunday. I have the tickets in my hand.
Oh, you dropped some there.
No, that's something else. I got two tickets
they're buried
here.
They're buried.
Grand final, October 2, Sunday 2020, 7:30 p.m. kickoff. Parramatta Eels versus the Penrith Panthers.
All right, let's go. We'll come back in a sec. We'll meet the lads. We'll get the competition underway and 20 minutes time. Someone
four
is going
men in,
to the
only
NRL.
One's going.
That's it. Game on. You're on Triple M.
Motto and Margo.
And Ben and Craig have just paper, scissors, rock. Craig from the Para Eels. Who won it? Who won the throw off?
Craig won rock over scissors. And he's nominated for Ben from Brackenridge to go first. Was there a tactic behind that, Craig?
There certainly was, Margo. I wanted to see what the target was to get tickets to the grand final.
All right, Ben, listen, you had an interesting story to tell us. How did you become a Panthers fan? Remind everyone.
It was Brisbane Broncos in 2014 when they brought back Wayne Bennett. I didn't see it happening. Sure, they made the grand final in 2015, but they still lost.
We got a man of principles here, a man who changes club based on a person wronging a club. So
I'm not sure, Marto, he's a man based on principles. He did bring a six-pack of Krispy Kremes. I feel like there might have been some bribery happening behind the scenes, and I'm open to it. I'm okay with it.
Not nine-pack.
Nine-pack, nine. I apologise. I ate three already.
Have we done a DNA test on Ben? He's got a bit of the clearies about him. You got the mullet, you got the strong jaw as well, Ben.
And clean-shaven.
Okay.
Father's Day, did you ring Ivan?
I had his number, I probably would have.
All right, are you ready? You got the ball in your hand. Yeah. Now, the rules are you got 30 seconds to when the whistle goes, and then the whistle will stop. He'll give you a 10-second warning when you got 10 to go. Whistle stops. You've got to get it through. We've got three holes here. You've got your choice.
Yeah, they're all a goal, though. All right, Benny, any of these three, you line it up.
You get them underway.
All right, here we go.
30 seconds on the clock.
It starts
in three, two, one. He's missed three. He's hit Dan in the face. He's got one in. He's missed the next two.
10 seconds
He's
down.
We've got two in so far. Three in. He's gone the same hole. He's just continuing to hit that over and over again.
10 seconds left.
10 seconds on the clock. Come on, Ben from Brackenridge. There's another one. Oh, two in a row. Will he make it three? No, he misses. No. Time is up. Ben from Brackenridge. He got seven balls through the hole.
Well done, Benny.
Ben, come back, mate. Are you all right? How are you feeling about that?
Not very confident, but, you know, I'm on the board.
Clubhouse leader. Well done, Ben.
Ivan's proud.
First cab off the rank, always the hardest job. We have Craig from Springwood. He's an Eels fan. He's taking his wife, Tara, who's here cheering on if they win the tickets today. You've got to beat seven balls in the hole, Craig. How are you feeling?
Confident.
Confident. All right. I think that's all we need to know. Confident.
Craig, get a ball in your hand.
30 seconds again on the clock. Time starts. 3, 2, 1. He's missed one. He's missed two. Three's down. Four's out.
10 seconds in.
20 seconds on the clock. He's only got one through so far. He's got six more to go. He's got to get in. Oh, he's got one in. Two.
10 seconds left.
Get it in there. Let's go, Craig. Craig from Springwood, Parramatta Eels fan. He's taking his wife, Tara, big Eels fans. Time is up. Official count, three balls.
Oh.
It's not going to get him the win, Craig from Springwood. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Thanks.
You'll be watching from your couch on Sunday while Ben at this stage is in the lead and he might be going to the NRL Grand Final. How are you feeling?
Really good. Confident. Para's going to win.
Can I ask a man who's already got his hair dyed gold and goatee, full outfit, face paint, what do you do with the rest of the day dressed like that?
The pub, Greg.
See you there.
The pub. It's the only place to be dressed like that.
You'll be watching it from the pub too.
It's an early pregame.
Yeah, Craig now switches to solidarity with you, Crane, as opposed to supporting Parramatta.
All right, we are currently Ben from Brackenridge. He's seven balls in the hole. He's in the lead. How are you feeling, Ben?
One down, two to go.
Come back and we'll do the other two in just a sec. Jason and Anthony will be throwing their way to the NRL Grand Final. And if you're flying out of Brisbane Airport, one of these blokes will be. Book your parking online and say brisbaneairportparking.com.au. It's cheaper than you think.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Yeah.
There are seven balls between Anthony and or Jason to overtake Ben from Brackenridge, who is the clubhouse leader currently at seven balls through the hole. It all comes down to these last two lots of 30 seconds, gentlemen.
Anthony, you're up first. You lost the paper, scissors, rocks. Last time you threw a ball competitively or for something important?
86.
86. Oh,
Was that the last time the Eels won a premiership?
That's right, yeah.
It's a long time Eels fan?
Yeah. 76.
Oh, you jumped on before the 81 to 86 success?
I definitely did, yeah.
All right, mate, what would this mean to win? Are you taking a young fella?
I am taking my other young fella, actually.
Oh, does this young fella that's here with you today know that?
He does. He's not very happy with me about it.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, Anthony, show us what you got.
All right, 30 seconds is going up on the clock. We've got Anthony from Mount Gravatt. It comes down to this. 7 balls through the hole is what we need. Time starts in 3, 2, 1. 1 ball through. Missed. 2 balls through. He's missed again. 3 balls through. 4 balls through.
10 seconds.
They've all gone for this bottom left-hand corner. 4 balls through is the current. He's got to get 3 more. 5 balls through. 6 balls through.
10 seconds left.
He's got 10 seconds. He's got 6 balls through. He needs 7 balls through. He's got to get 1 ball through. Keep going. 9 balls through. 10 balls through. 10 balls through.
He's a club
Anthony from Mount Gravatt is
our clients all around.
10 balls through.
He's high-fived the sun he's not taking. Just
he's
really rubbing
blown
salt
Ben
in the
from Brackenridge out of the park. Ben, you look disappointed.
Extremely.
He was leading 7 balls, but unfortunately for Ben, Anthony from Mount Gravatt has taken
not
over.
Not bad. 26 years since throwing a ball properly. Happy with that?
It's 36 years, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's right. No, I'm really impressed with that. I wasn't looking forward to 7, but that's good.
So you are the podium leader. Go and stand over there. You've got the ticket. You got the tickets in your hand. They're there to be snatched
away.
You're
either going to hold on to them or hand them over to Jason from Pine Mountain.
Behind the line.
10 balls through. You've got to beat. 30 seconds, Jace.
I saw you in the warm-up, Jace. Looked pretty good. When's the last time you passed the ball properly?
Oh, 16, so probably 88.
Ever been to a grand final?
Yep, last year.
Oh, the easy one. Now this is the one to travel. Who's going with you if you win?
97.
Who's going with you if you win?
Oh, I've taken Miss O, won't I?
Not necessarily.
Does she listen to us or another radio station?
We just FaceTimed his young fella and he said he reckons he's not a chance.
Oh, well, his young fella.
His young fella said he's not a chance, he won't get it through. 10 balls through is your goal. You've got to get 11 to beat 10. Obviously, my maths is on fire
you
this
nailed
morning.
That, mate. Quick maths. All right, are we all ready? Everyone said and
all right, 30 seconds on the clock. Time starts in 3, 2, 1. He's got the first ball through. The second ball's gone through. Third ball has gone through. Fourth ball through. Five balls in a row. Six balls in a row. Seven balls in a row. Eight balls in a row. Nine he's missed. Eight balls through. 10 he's missed. 11. He's got 9 through. 10 through. He needs one
ten
more.
10 seconds left.
Oh, he's got it.
He's won it.
Jason from Pine Mountain. He's going to the grand final.
Unbelievable.
Lights, accommodation, tickets to the big dance on Sunday. Going to be there cheering on the mighty Panthers.
How many in a row? Did you do 8 or 9 in a row?
Then? 9 in a row.
Staying there, I was good at when I was a kid, mate. Passing and kicking.
Wow. Were you a half? What position when you played rugby league? What position?
Oh, a bit of halfback, bit of the wing, mate. Yeah.
I am here with Anthony from Mount Gravatt. 10 balls he needed to beat. 11 he got. Anthony, I'm sorry. You're going to be watching from the couch on Sunday.
Well, yeah, I will be. That's shattering, though, for me. I'm sure his foot was in front of the line.
Well, look, he's a Panther supporter. Just give us a big up the Eels, Anthony.
Yeah, go the Eels.
It doesn't mean they're going to lose on Sunday. There's still some hope yet for Anthony from Mount Gravatt.
Anthony, there was no foot fault. I kept an eye on it, but that forward pass last weekend, you deserve it. Let's remember that. Hey, listen, so have you worked out who you're going to take?
Yeah, the Miss O, mate.
The Miss O? Yeah. Where is she? Who is she?
Oh, she's at work, Jackie.
Would she be listening?
Oh, I hope so.
Jackie,
everyone tell Jackie she's going to Sydney.
You and Jason from Pie Mountain are going down to cheer on the Mighty Panthers on Sunday. 2 tickets. They're all yours. Flights, accommodation, and tickets to the big dance.
Anthony's just let Ripper go. He was surely ready to go Panthers.
Here
to
are the actual
out
tickets.
The ledger. There's the tickets. Give us a big go Panthers.
Let's go Panthers. Yep.
A bit more than that.
You can do better.
Let's go Panthers.
Come on, the Panthers.
Row.
Triple
A. That was me.